My friends, I hope if you are here that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That about 2,000 years ago, God, who made all things, became a man, became flesh. He walked this earth, a sinless Savior, but he died cruelly on the cross of Calvary to pay my sin debt and yours. He did not die for his own sins. Jesus Christ was sinless, but he died for our sins. The punishment and the wrath of God, the judgment of God was poured out on him, and he died alone, forsaken of God. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering death and hell, and gives all who believes, meaning trust and depend alone in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. If you are here today, my friends, if you believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart as your personal Savior, you're saved. If you have yet to do that, you're not saved. And God will send you to hell unless you turn from your rejection of Jesus Christ and trust, believe, depend in Jesus Christ alone as your personal Lord and Savior. I hope the message would encourage you today, my friends. Of course, being Father's Day, I'll be remiss if I, of course, I want to preach God's word no matter what. But the title of this morning's message, in keeping with the theme of Father's Day, God will provide himself. God will provide himself. Of course, if you can recognize that phrase, it was spoken by a dad to his son. And this, of course, is speaking about God's mercy, God's goodness, God's grace, God's provision for us. And today we're going to be speaking about the doctrine of the character of God. From the example of one of the most powerful accounts in Scripture, and it happens to be between a father and a son, that of course Abraham, when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. And so I kind of got that thinking that, boy, you know, it's Father's Day, and I thought things would be kind of a good father-son message. You know, how the father was asked by God to kill the son. I thought, more so than that, I want us to consider the truth of God's unchanging character, how God will provide himself meaning personally. That God would do it himself, not just send someone else to do it. He would do it himself personally. But of course, the second application is God literally did it by sending Jesus Christ as our Lamb, our sin sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to save us from our sins. And so you have your Bibles. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. This is the account. We'll read here Genesis chapter 22, and a tremendous story of God testing the faith of Abraham. I can't even imagine how it had to be like. Oftentimes I put myself into the shoes of the Bible characters, kind of play it out in my mind, how it would happen. How would it be like if I was Abraham or if I was Isaac, you know, like, Dad, what are you doing? How come you're tying me up here? But again, to the idea of God will provide himself. Okay, if we truly understand this truth, it will change everything as far as with our obedience to what God asks of us. So let's go to chapter 22 in Genesis. Verse 1, we'll start there. We read all the way to verse 8. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood off the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, a fire in the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a joy to come in thy house today, Lord. And so we are thankful to be here. And Father, we just confess our sinfulness to you, our unworthiness. Yet at the same time, just our gratefulness, Lord, that you send the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. And so how wicked we are before you, but even more loving and more gracious you are to us, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I pray, Father, all who are here that at some point have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, received him by faith alone as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here who's not saved, that today they'll get saved, Lord, that truly believe in Jesus. Not just that Jesus is the real person, but that they would trust in him alone to save their soul from the devil's hell. And just bless now the preaching of thy word. Holy Spirit of God, anoint these lips of clay. Help me, Lord, to share your word. Help me and all of us, Lord, to truly, truly understand that it clicks in us forever that you are the God who will provide himself. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. One of the most powerful, endearing, if you will, accounts in the scripture. And it happens right here. We just read those verses between a father and a son. Of course, God is testing Abraham's faith by commanding him. It's not just a, hey, if you want to do this, Abraham is up to you. No, this is an instruction. It's a commandment that God gives him specifically to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. Which he was willing to do. Now again, God intervenes at the end, so that's praise God for that. But Abraham is willing from his heart to go through with this. And just to give a little extra context here, a burnt offering is not the same as a sin offering. Now, they're both animal sacrifices to God. But when you read through later on Exodus into Leviticus, you know, the sin offering was mandatory. It's something that had to be done. For example, like the Day of Atonement, the priest had to do it. It was what God commanded them to give the sin offering. Burnt offerings were done voluntarily. The idea is if someone on their own account, if they sinned and know they sinned, they felt bad about it, they wanted to repent and get right with God, and they would offer to the priest a burnt offering. A sin offering is mandatory. Burnt offering is voluntary. The idea is to atone for sin, but it's also to picture devotion to God. Okay, and you didn't have to do it if you were Israelite per se, but you could do it. And so the idea here is God is asking Abraham to show his devotion to him. And so that's number one to kind of keep in mind here. Isaac, the Bible does call him lad, young man. The idea is he probably wasn't young. If you look at the math, you know, he's probably in the late teens. Some would even say young adult. Okay, the idea is when you look at scripture, again, depending on context, you know, my kids are, I still call them kids, even though some of them are adults. The idea is, depending who you talk to, if I talk to an older gentleman, he might still call me, hey, young man, you know, the idea. And so, yes, he's called lad, but the idea is Isaac is easily able to overpower dad if he wants. Okay, later on we'll see that Abraham binds and ties up Isaac. Isaac lets him. Okay, and so I want us to understand, God gets glorified in the end, but it's a combo of Abraham's faith and obedience, but also Isaac's faith and obedience. So father, dad, son, they both glorify God. Isaac certainly, you know, he's strong enough to carry the firewood. He's certainly able to resist dad, okay? If he doesn't want to be bound, he's not going to get bound. And so he's able to do that, but we'll see Isaac offers himself a sacrifice. Okay, that's Romans 12:1 for us. And then going up Mount Moriah, okay, this is more just anecdotally, okay, but because of Abraham's triumph of faith right here in obeying God, later on, we'll see that this becomes a place where God accepts David's sacrifice, you know, with fire from heaven. And then we'll see later on yet, this is where Solomon ends up building the temple on Mount Moriah. And so this is a very historical site here. A lot of tremendous victories of God happen here. An amazing testimony of Abraham's faith in God who will provide himself. Again, that God will personally provide, God will personally see to that he provides for us. I mean, that is such an intimate thing with God and his children. God matters to him what you go through. How you feel, how you hurt, it matters to God, and he personally takes care of our needs. He personally provides. But again, even when it comes to salvation, he also provides literally himself as the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. God provides for our needs. You know, you can think of our material needs, our emotional needs, our spiritual needs, of course, salvation. God provides, actually, he also provides for our wants. You know, contrary to what we might think sometimes, God actually does provide for our wants. In fact, a lot of our wants. Now, not all of them, but God has been so gracious. I mean, certainly there are things, if we want to think of our life, that we want, that we have, that we don't need, that still came from God, okay? It's by God's grace. All that we have is a gift from God. God provides for our deliverance, either rescuing us from certain hardships, whatever trials we're going through, or he might opt to give us his all-sufficient grace to go through that trial with us. And so praise God, either way, he provides for us. He provides, of course, for our eternity, our soul salvation to Jesus Christ. That's just him providing personally and literally himself as our sacrificial lamb. Again, I can't overemphasize the necessity. If you are not saved, please receive by faith alone Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't want to stand before God and have to pay the price for your sins, which is hell, when Jesus Christ already suffered and paid the price for your sin debt. I think of Abraham here. I think of my children that God has blessed me with. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around how Abraham did it. I was talking to my son this morning. He said, "Yeah, Dad, how could Abraham do that?" Well, of course, God spoke audibly to him, and so that's one thing to consider. We see Abraham in Hebrews 11. You know, he's one of the champions of faith, and I always thought, boy, wouldn't it be nice if I had Abraham's unshakable faith? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could have Abraham's faith? Now, surprise, Abraham didn't always have this level of faith. I want us to walk in the last few chapters here of Genesis, given the time we have today, how Abraham, his faith was refined and strengthened by God through his personal trials, experiences, and even failures. I want us to understand that Abraham did at times have faith that faltered at certain points, but time and time again, God would show him that God personally is the God that provides. And then he gets it here in chapter 22, okay? And so I want us to understand this. And notice what Abraham says to his son Isaac in chapter 22, verse 8. He says here, "My son, God will provide himself." The idea "will" is huge, okay? That word is huge because "will" means guarantee. God is guaranteed to do this. There's no other option. He will, not maybe, not should, coulda, woulda, should. No, God will. Okay, God will. But also understand in this one word "will," yes, it shows a guarantee, but it also shows not necessarily now, right? And so the word "will," it shows a guarantee, but it also shows not necessarily now. It could be later. Okay, could be at some point. And so this is actually a scriptural formula, if you will, like a math formula. The idea of something that's guaranteed plus something that's not necessarily now equals hope, right? A guarantee plus something that's not quite now, not immediate, but later equals what? Hope. And so this is the hope that we have, that God will provide, and not just whatever, provide himself. He does it personally, and then with our salvation, he did it literally. And so how did God refine Abraham's faith? Because interestingly, look at verse 1. There's some time lapse there, because verse 1, "And God calls to remembrance," you know, look at verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things." It kind of got me thinking, well, what things? Well, among other things, some of the trauma and drama in Abraham's life. Well, among other things, what happened in the previous chapter? Well, in chapter 21, actually, one of the most heartbreaking, grievous things to ever happen to Abraham's life happened in chapter 21. It's when he had to cast out his other son, Ishmael. Okay, I want us to look at this. Go to verse 9 with me, chapter 21. Let's go to verse 9 of the previous chapter. I'm going to read in verse 9. It says here, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking." So this would be Ishmael. "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son." Now, a little background here. Again, this is Ishmael, Abraham's other son that he had, not with Sarah, but with Sarah's servant, Hagar. Okay? And so he's got, Ishmael and Isaac. They're the same dad, different moms. Okay? And so he's told by Sarah to cast them out. "For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, it says, and the thing was very grievous to Abraham in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now, he was heartbroken about this. And to cast out is not just to kick out, it is, but it's also to disown. And so what Sarah is saying is, hey, honey, Abraham, now we have Isaac, the child that God promised us. This is the one that's going to be the heir. You need to kick out and disown and cast out Ishmael, the other son. No splitting inheritance here. And so Abraham has to thrust out really his firstborn son, Ishmael. Ishmael is about, 15, 16. This is after Isaac's been born. When he was 14, he was born. And then Isaac was weaned. Could be a couple of years. And so just guessing, the ballpark, mid-teens, okay? And so Abraham has to cast out of his home Ishmael, whom he loves. And he's got to disown him. He's got to cut all ties with him. And essentially, to his life, Ishmael is going to be dead. Kind of delete him. Ghost him, block him, unfriend him, kick him out, and have zero contact with Ishmael and going forward. Ishmael, you're on your own. You fend for yourself, but you'll have not one penny of dad's inheritance because all of it's going to Isaac. Okay, so this is what is at stake here. And it broke Abraham. It broke his heart because he loved him. Now, I want us to understand this. All this pain, hurt, and drama that Abraham's going through now, why? It all happened because Abraham did not wait for God to provide a son. Okay, now this is huge. They kind of jumped the gun. Now, I want us to go back. Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. Now he was 75. So 25 years ago, you can rewind back time with him, and he was 75. God had appeared to him and told him that he'll have a son. Okay, so let's go back to Genesis 12. We'll start there because I want us to see this. This is a hard... Now, he gets it in Genesis 22, okay? But I want us to understand, Abraham did not always have this unshakable faith that God will provide himself, And his faith faltered up to this point, okay? And so this is a very tough lesson that Abraham was taught by God. Very profound, but it was hard. And so let's go to chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. I just want to share this, and this is kind of where it all starts. Abraham is 75. Well, you think at 75 you're about winding down your life. No, his life just gets started. Okay, so let's go to verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Wow. Now, remember, he and his wife don't have any children, and so God promises him out of nowhere that he'll have many, many descendants. In fact, a nation full of descendants. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Wow. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Wow. Of course, that's later through Isaac, through Jesus Christ, who save all of mankind. Yep. Okay, so verse 4. And Abraham obeys. Now, again, he doesn't know where he's going. He just knows he's going to leave. And so verse 4, he goes by faith. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, that's his nephew. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. All right, that's fine. Now let's go to chapter 15. Chapter 15 in Genesis. Let's go to verse 1. And so chapter 15, let's go to verse 1. And so this is after Abraham actually rescues Lot. He gets in trouble, gets kidnapped, and he rescues him. Okay, and then God comes to him later and says in verse 1 of chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Okay, so God kind of reaffirms the promise. Now look at Abram's response. Because up until this time, yes, God did promise him he'll, be the father of a nation, okay? And yes, he understood that. But up to this point, the only heir, okay, quote-unquote heir that Abram has is his servant. Okay, a good servant, but that's the only heir that he really can see is his servant. So is this the guy? Am I supposed to give it all to him and he's going to become a nation? So verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. So is it this servant? Is this who you meant? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. The idea is the servants were, of course, property of the master. And so if you had a servant that bore children, the children kind of belong to you in that way. And so that's kind of what he's saying. Is it this guy? Well, God affirms. Look at this, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Like, oh. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And so God tells him, no, not a servant, but it's literally going to be your child. He's going to be your literal offspring. What a promise. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Of course, they're innumerable. If thou be able to number them, and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So God reassures Abraham that it's okay, Abraham. You will be a father of many nations. In fact, and it's going to be your biological child. Okay, I didn't mean it just through adoption. Okay, it's going to be your biological child. And then fast forward about 10 to 11 years later. Okay, so Abraham is, you know, reassured in chapter 15. When you go to chapter 16 with me, this is about 10 to 11 years later. So he's about 86, okay, 85, 86, 87, 86 and a half. And so they've been waiting a while, right? And still no child from his loins. And so let's go to verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She still couldn't get pregnant, no baby. And so she comes up with this idea. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, because verse 2, it's the way that it's said and phrased in verse 2 matters, because it was initiated by Sarah. The idea is of Sarai, but the idea is Sarah is giving her blessing. The scheme is to use her maid, her servant Hagar, as essentially a surrogate mom. Okay, that's kind of what they want. Abraham to have a child through Hagar, because Hagar is Sarah's servant. It'll be like a surrogate mom. So that's what she's thinking. That's what they both agree to. And so verse 2, and Sarah said unto Abraham, or Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Evidently God did this, so this must be what we should do. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Now later on she changes her mind and like, bad idea. Okay, but for now she's saying, let's do this. She can, she'll bear my child. She'll be a surrogate mom, and her child, which they're going to call Ishmael, she's thinking, will be my son. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And so this is what they do. Now, unfortunately, this, of course, is a bad idea. It's not what God intended. Results in, of course, we know, heartache to Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael. And then if you go further down, bloodshed among their descendants. So this is a very bad decision. And it's because they jumped the gun. Because their faith faltered, Sarah and mostly Abraham. I mean, he could have said, no, woman, we're not going to do it. I mean, he could have said, no, he's the head of the home. But he went along with it. And so his faith faltered. And again, this all is going to bring him up to chapter 22, where he, at this point, God is going to show him a very tough lesson that God will provide himself. Okay, you don't have to do it. I'll do it. And so this, of course, is a very classic case of taking matters into his own hands. He shouldn't have done it. We know all the drama that comes from that. If you go with me to chapter 17, even though Abraham did what he should not have done, and he and Hagar had a child, of course, and that's Ishmael, Abraham still loved Ishmael. He did. I mean, you know, he still loves Ishmael. It's still his son, even though it's with Hagar, not Sarah. So let's go to chapter 17. Let's go to verse 15. So this is about 13 years later, okay? 13 years later, a year before Isaac gets born. So Ishmael is a tender, just turned a teenager, 13 years old. And so let's go to Genesis 17. Let's go to verse 15. It says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And God just changed Abram's name to Abraham, okay? He's going to bring Isaac forward, so to prep for Isaac being born. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Now, Ishmael is there, 13 years old, but Sarah is going to get pregnant. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be offered. Like, wow. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And so, again, even now, his faith is still, really? I mean, God, I hear what you're saying, but my heart is like, no way. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Now, again, put ourselves in his shoes. I mean, we can kind of relate to that, right? I mean, it's something that's so out there. Like, what in the world? I'm about to be 100. My wife is 90. We're going to have a baby? And look at verse 18. And it shows us where Abraham's heart is. Look at what he says. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that, what does it say? Ishmael might live before thee. So Abraham is saying, it's okay, Lord. I mean, come on. I'm pretty much 100. My wife is 90. I love Ishmael. How about Ishmael? That should be good. I mean, Abraham is not knocking Ishmael. I mean, he's putting Ishmael up. He's saying, let's just go with Ishmael. I mean, he's good. He's 13. I mean, we're too old. It's good. He loves Ishmael. Don't get me wrong. Abraham loves Ishmael. Now, I share this. Why? Because it's going to break his heart when he has to later on disown Ishmael. Cast out Ishmael. It's going to break his heart. But he learns the lesson, right? Later on, he's going to learn, through the birth of Isaac, he's going to learn the lesson that God will always provide himself. So he's going to be very aware of his faltering, his taking matters into his own hands. That was not what he should have done. Keep going with me. Verse 19 here says, and God said, God answers him. Now, God doesn't go along with Abraham's plan. God doesn't say, you're right, let's go with Ishmael. No, he doesn't say that. He says, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. No, it's going to be Sarah. Now, later on, of course, in Galatians, the New Testament, we know it's got to be the son of faith, of promise, of the free woman, not the son of the born woman that shows sin. So we get that. It says, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. So God tells him specific instructions. No, it's not going to be Ishmael, not the son of the born woman. It's going to be your wife's own son. And in fact, his name is going to be Isaac. So God even names him for him. And I will establish my covenant with him. Not Ishmael, it's with Isaac. For an everlasting covenant and with his seed, singular, that means Jesus, after him. But God knows Abraham loves Ishmael. And because of who Abraham is, Ishmael gets some, you know, some flow over blessings. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. And will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Like, well, God's not going to forsake Ishmael either, okay? God's still going to provide for Ishmael, even though poor Ishmael, really, no fault of his own, right? He didn't choose to be born. He didn't choose to have, you know, his dad and his mom take matters in their own hands, so he just got birthed into this world. And now he gets to be the focal point of all this drama. He's like, hey, what did I do? And so God knows that. And God is not going to hold that against him. God is still going to bless and provide for him. By the way, perhaps you feel like an Ishmael. Perhaps you feel that, you know, somehow you got the short hand of the stick. If you've had a hard childhood growing up, like Ishmael did, I just want to encourage you, my friends, God still loves you. God will always provide for you. Scripture tells us that God is the father to the fatherless, and he loves you. We can pick our friends, but we can't pick our family, right? and Ishmael got born, like, well, what did I do? And there's all this drama going on, not his fault. But God still reaffirms to Abraham, verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And so pretty much 9 months from now, right? And so that was a promise by God. And so if you fast forward with me to chapter 18, let's go to verse 9. Chapter 18, verse 9. Now this is shortly later. This is all about the destruction of Sodom. Okay, but when the angels came, there's more conversation, and God reaffirms yet again to Abraham. It says, verse 9 of chapter 18, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly, God is guaranteeing a guarantee, return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now again, we know, hindsight is 20/20, we read all this happened already. But will God provide? Of course God provides. God will always provide himself, okay, personally. So this is always going to happen. Lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And so she was clinically unable, physically unable to have children. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am wax old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And then verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, up until this time, pretty much close to 25 years, all God has done is promised. Promise, promise, reassured, reassured, but God hasn't brought the promise to pass. But God is going to show Abraham and Sarah a very powerful truth, that he will always provide himself. Abraham's faith faltered. But when this happens, when Isaac gets born, it comes full circle, and he never doubts God again after that, okay? Which is huge, okay? But let's go to chapter 21. Let's go to verse 1. And so, give or take nine months later, all right, next year, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Okay, take note of this. As he had said, as he had spoken, God will always do it. Okay, he will always provide himself. Why? For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken unto him. Literally, pretty much 9 months before. And Abraham called the name of his son, which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, specifically Sarah, not Hagar, not anyone else, Isaac. This is Isaac. And so this God provides. This is huge. God will always provide. Abraham had to wait 25 years, but he finally got Isaac. But it is a powerful and painful lesson that changed his life. And I can only imagine when Abraham is holding Isaac, he's like, wow, God, you provide. Hallelujah. From my own wife, Sarah. And then it's bittersweet, you know, as he thinks of Ishmael, and like, oh, you know, because he kind of stepped out in the flesh, you know, and had Ishmael with Hagar. That was not plan A. He settled for plan B. But now Ishmael's here, and it's going to literally kill Abraham emotionally to have to disown Ishmael, not because of Ishmael's fault. It was because of Abraham's fault. So because of dad messing up. And by the way, Abraham was not the perfect dad. In fact, he wasn't the perfect husband either. If you remember his plan with Sarah, because Sarah was so beautiful, wherever they went on their journey, he would always tell Sarah, you know what? Can you be merciful to me and just tell people that you're my sister? Now, she was his half-sister, okay? But she was still, more so, she was the wife. But he said, can you tell people you're my sister so that they won't kill me and take you? I mean, this was where Abraham was at. He would rather save his own skin and be okay with other guys moving in on his wife. That was what he was saying. That's what he's saying to her. Every stop that we go to, if people ask, just say, "Oh, that's my brother." Now, ladies, how would you feel if your husband would always introduce you as something else, but not your wife, not his wife? I mean, that's mean. I mean, I'm just saying. So I'm just saying, Abraham wasn't the best father. He made big mistakes. You know, maybe Ishmael said, "Dad, why do you have me?" You know, I don't know. And he certainly wasn't the best husband. Okay, but it was a life lesson that he learned. And then going forward, his faith never faltered. Okay, so then we fast forward all the way up to chapter 22 where we started. And so now, years later, Ishmael is long gone. All he has now is Isaac. Isaac is a late teen, maybe early 20s. Some say even late 20s. Okay, but bottom line is Isaac is not a little kid. Okay, he's pretty much a man. And they're going up the mountain. God has told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering, as a picture of his complete devotion to God. Abraham, of course, it's still a tough thing, but now he is no longer the Abraham of the previous chapters. This is Abraham whose faith has been refined. And the son is, you know, he's with it. You know, he knows what's going on. They're bringing the stuff up the mountain, and the son has the wherewithal to, like, wait a minute. I see the knife to slay the offering. I see the wood to burn the offering. But, Dad, where's the where's the lamb? What's going on here? And verse 8, this is a, talk about a Father's Day verse. What do you tell a child if they're going to die? What can a parent tell a child if the child is going to die? If God forbid, if the child has some kind of disease, childhood cancer, and more than likely the child is going to die, what can a parent say? All we can say is what Abraham says. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. Just trust God. That's all we can do. We are born into cursed bodies. This is the evidence, you know, that this body gets sick, this body gets tired, this body sins, this body dies. That's why God's going to give us a new body. That's why Jesus Christ came to save us from this cursed world. Okay, that's the whole point. That's why the suffering in this world is because of sin. That's not because of God, that's because of man. God wants to save us from this sin-cursed world, and that's why he sent Jesus to save us. That's the whole point. And all Abraham can say is, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Not just that the lamb would be from God, but God will also provide for the lamb. Regardless of what happens, just trust the Lord. God will provide. Son, I faltered in my faith at one point, and I hurt those nearest to me because of that. I learned my lesson never to doubt God anymore. Son, just trust the Lord. I mean, I can't even imagine this. And I praise God for Abraham's faithfulness, but I also want to appreciate Isaac's submission to Dad, because Isaac knows he's going to get sacrificed, but he doesn't resist Dad, and I can just imagine that the father son having the exchange, you know. Let's go to verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son. I don't know if they said anything. I'm a talker, so if I was in Abraham's shoes, I'd be talking, you know, and I don't know, but if I was in Isaac's shoes, I'd be talking, you know, like, Dad, are you sure about this? And Dad is saying, just trust the Lord, son. Just trust the Lord. He will provide face to face, and maybe they're sweating bullets, you know, I don't know. Just trust him as he ties him up. Just trust him here. Help, hop on the altar, son. Okay, get you on there. Just trust the Lord. He takes the knife out. He says, Dad, are we sure we're going to do this? And like, just trust the Lord, son. God loves you. God will never leave you. He never forsake you. God will provide himself. And he's going to plunge it down. I mean, that's how I see it play out, okay? It says here, and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac. His son Isaac let himself do this. Again, a wonderful picture of presenting his body, not just living sacrifices. In this case, it's a dead sacrifice. I mean, so this is Romans 12, 1 plus. Okay, he's going to die for God, okay? But Isaac, what a challenge for you and I as Christians to be an Isaac. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his son and took the knife to slay his son, and it is coming down. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And so right at the very end, God intervenes. He says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. Fears him, trusts him, worship him, is devoted to him. And Abraham's got it. After all the drama in his life, verse 1, it came to pass after these things, all the trauma that went through his whole Ishmael and all that, Abraham's got it. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns, by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And so God provides himself, personally, a ram, of course, for our salvation, literally himself in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for our salvation. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, or Jehovah Yireh. Okay, that means God will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be see. Now, what's so amazing about what Abraham did was he knew God would provide one way or another, even though he didn't quite know how it would play out. In fact, we get a little preview of what Abraham was thinking, because first of all, he says in verse 5, before they left, says, Abraham said unto his young men, the two servants, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, me and my son Isaac, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He said, we're going to come back. We're going to go worship, then we'll come back. In fact, Hebrews in the New Testament, turn with me to Hebrews 11, gives us a little sneak peek of what Abraham was actually thinking, okay, in his own mind, still by faith. But the Bible reveals to us what Abraham was actually thinking and commends him for that. If you go to we'll start with verse 7, because it applauds Abraham's faith, and every single triumph of faith is because Abraham understood that God will provide himself. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11, and then we'll wrap it up in a moment here. Let's go to verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went. Why? Because he knew God will provide himself. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned, that's a temporary stay, in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, just tents, never had an actual home, with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for the New Jerusalem. You get a peek of that in Revelation, okay? And so that's amazing. Why? Because he knew God will provide himself. If you go down with me to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, Genesis 22, verse 1, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, because only in Isaac will the seed be called. By faith, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, colon, here's his rationale to it, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. So Abraham was... Abraham was willing to literally kill his son, but he knew that God will provide himself. So evidently, if God is going to use Isaac to give me a whole generation, a whole nation of descendants, then I guess God is going to raise him up after I kill him. So he was going to do it. The power of the resurrection, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so he didn't kill Isaac, but of course Isaac was dead to him. He was going to kill him in his mind. Okay, and so that is what Abraham was thinking. He'll go through this hardship, he'll go through this trial, but God will raise up his son. Now, God didn't have to raise up Isaac because God provided a ram. But I want us to understand, sometimes in our life, in our trials, God provides us a ram. Sometimes, like Lazarus, God provides us a resurrection. When Lazarus was ill, Jesus said, his sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And sometimes God can give us a ram. Amen. If our heart is in the right place, he gives us a ram. We avoid that hardship. But sometimes, like Lazarus, God lets the pain hit us, and then he raises us back. So we're good. Okay. But again, if it's not in this lifetime, he'll raise us to glory. And so either way, we'll be raised. Okay. But I want us to understand, this is how God operates. But he will always provide himself. He is always faithful, even if it's 25 years. Okay, what God says, he will bring to pass. May I not jump the gun like Abraham. And again, I can't imagine poor Isaac. Poor Ishmael, right? I mean, he had to be kicked out of the family. I mean, he's disowned. No more any inheritance. I mean, they kind of cut it all off, and he kind of went solo from there. But God still provided for him, right? God gave him 12 princes and made great nations, the father of the Arabs. Okay, now I'm saying... You were still, at the end of the day, God provides for us, but we still are accountable to God. We still need to make right choices and be faithful to God ourselves in obedience. I get that, okay? And so his descendants did not do that. But as far as with Ishmael goes, God still loved him. God still provided for him. God will always provide himself. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a tremendous thought, Lord. And Father, what a humbling thought, Lord, a reassuring thought, but a convicting thought that you will provide yourself personally and then for our salvation, literally, Lord. And so what a comfort, Lord, to know that I don't have to doubt, I don't have to jump the gun, I don't have to take matters into my own hands, I don't have to ever sin to justify some ends. Lord, that I always need to just stay faithful and trust in you, trust in you. Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed, just a